Pittsboro. It is so good to be here. For those of you who are new, my name is Alex. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you are new, you might not know that we're one church in two locations. We got a location here in Pittsboro, location up in North Chatham. I am usually at North Chatham, and Jaime is primarily preaching here. And we're existing on the same place on a Sunday morning to prove to you we're not the same person. Like, we actually are two different people. Like, it's like a Haley's Comet moment. We're in the same location on a Sunday morning. So if you are new, please make sure you spend time with Jaime. Get to know him on the way out. He's great and wonderful. And then next week, Matt McCarr's coming. We really invite you. We're excited about what God's doing here in Pittsboro, and we are looking forward to seeing what God does as Jaime moves to a new role in the church and as we bring Matt in. So please come and be a part of the welcoming and the hazing that goes with the new guy. So please come and help us to get a little feedback. Give us feedback. We'd love to hear kind of your experience of him as well. We're super excited about that. So for those of you who are new, welcome, welcome, welcome. What we're all about here at Chatham Church is really simple. It's all about connecting. It's connecting people to God, connecting people to each other, so together we can engage our world for good. That's what we're all about here. We hope to experience a little bit of all those things here this morning. We're like halfway through a long, hard, hot, gross summer, and we're halfway through a wonderful, wonderful summer series called Forever Changed. The idea behind Forever Changed is we're just looking at like kind of one-off stories of people who have a dramatic encounter with God, and they leave forever changed. Like, that's the experience when people meet God, meet Jesus in particular. So we're talking about change. Some of us love change. Some of us want to change and grow. Others of us don't want to change so much. We're kind of change resistant, but here's what's true for all of us. All of us have somebody else we'd like to see changed. All of us want to fix somebody else. All of us know how somebody else needs to change or grow, right, and deal with their issues. So listen, we're totally confident that the person we want to change, if they would only do what we want them to do, they would be way better off. We would love them a whole lot more, and the world would be a better place if they would just change the way we want them to change. We're very confident that we can change other people for the better. How much more confident can we be in a good God? That the change he wants to work in you will actually be good for you, great for the people around you, and honor God with your whole life. That's what we're talking about as we're talking about being forever changed. Now, so today we're talking about a problem that we all face in the spiritual life. Now, this is true for all of us, whether you've been Christian your whole life, church person your whole life, or this is like brand new to you. We're so glad this is true for you. If that's new for you, we're so glad. Or if you've been out of the habit of church for a while, here's the barrier, a thing that we all hit at every point, all of us at different points, and that is this, that there are always barriers to following Jesus. Always. Always barriers. Some of the barriers are internal, our own doubts, our own fears, our own pride, our own ambitions. Some of the barriers are external, environmental, like people around us. Or some of you have had bad church experiences in the past. Some of you had no church experience in the past. Both those can be barriers to following, knowing, trusting, believing. Jesus is good. Jesus is Lord. Like, good things can happen, right? Now, the reason why this is a problem to have a barrier to get to Jesus is because Jesus is good. Because in him is peace forevermore. In him is life forevermore. In him is joy in the spirit. In him is salvation. In him is everything. Like, he's the liberator, the freedom bringer, the one who helps us through the ups and downs of life. In Jesus is all of God's goodness poured into a human being. You want to get to Jesus, but all of us face barriers to getting to Jesus. So here's the good news. Here's the good news. Despite the fact that all of us stare down, deal with all kinds of barriers to get Jesus, here's the good news. Every barrier has been overcome at some point by somebody in the last 2,000 years. Whatever barrier you got, nothing new. Whatever issue you got, nothing new. There's nothing that you're staring down, nothing that you're facing, nothing that's set against you that Jesus has not already overcome in someone else's life, millions of people's lives before you, right? The last 2,000 years. So here's how that overcoming happens. Through a couple different things. One, through some combination of their own choices, and Jesus, who came to seek and save the lost, who are always stuck behind some kind of barrier. That's what Jesus does. He comes to find people who are stuck behind barriers, who are lost, to invite them to know grace, mercy, love, truth, right? That's what Jesus does over and over and over again. He's just always kind of coming to find people who are stuck behind, stalled out behind various barriers, various obstacles of some sort. So the invitation here is that Jesus is always coming to seek and save the lost. We're going to talk more about that in the passage. And here's the deal. Like, in the midst of that, there's an invitation to you and me. There are choices that you and I need to make to open ourselves up to the grace and mercy and the work that Jesus wants to do in our lives. There's choices we can make and have to make to help us to see Jesus and overcome the barriers that might be in our own lives along the way. When we make those kinds of choices, when we say yes to Jesus' invitation as he comes and meets us in the midst of those barriers and those challenges, that's when you and I experience being forever changed. We'll look at that story today. A man named Zacchaeus, all kinds of barriers to him, connecting with God, knowing Jesus, trusting Jesus. Some of those barriers are completely outside of his control. Some he has a ton of control over. And what he does is he overcomes those barriers over and over and over again. We're going to look at how he overcomes those barriers. And in the end of the story, he is forever changed. And not only is his life changed, oh my gosh, everyone around him is changed. Not only has everyone around him changed, for 2,000 years, people have been inspired by the story to do crazy, ridiculous, beautiful things in Jesus' name, to bless people. That's the story of Zacchaeus, forever changed. Today we're in Luke 19. If you're new to the Bible, we're so glad you're here. Four biographies of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke's biography is unique. What's unique about Luke's biography is he really loves people who are overlooked and marginalized, particularly in the first century. So he tells more stories about women and kids than anybody else. So in Luke, he loves the poor and the marginalized, and the rich people always look bad in Luke, right? He doesn't like rich people so much. But Zacchaeus is going to break that mold here in this story. So we're in Luke 19. Here, let's pick up verse 1 again. It says this. Jesus entered Jericho, was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. All right, so if you're not familiar with first century life, Rome rules everything, Middle East, all Europe, North Africa, and they make a lot of money, and part of how they make money is they get indigenous people to tax their own people. So Egyptians tax other Egyptians, and Israelites tax other Israelites. And the way they get them to do this is they say, well, you got to charge at least this much, and anything else you can get over and above that, you get to keep. So these are people who make a ton of money by selling out their own countrymen, right? So Zacchaeus is not only a big sellout, he's the chief sellout, chief tax collector, right? That means he's got minions. Everyone loves minions, right? You have minions at work. It's great to have minions. So maybe it's like a little bit of a pyramid scheme here where he's skimming off of everybody's money, right? He is making so, so much money, and everybody hates him for it. He sells out his own people. Now, Jesus comes to town, and it's likely, very likely, we know that Jesus has passed through Jericho before. He's been kind of in and around this area multiple times in his 3 years of teaching. Likely that Zacchaeus has at least glimpsed him, heard of him, seen him, maybe even knows people who went to one of his teachings. Maybe Zacchaeus himself showed up to one of these teachings. So here's the So Jesus is coming through town, just passing through on his way to Jerusalem. And Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. We talked about barriers to believing in, knowing, seeing, experiencing Jesus. Here's Zacchaeus' first barrier. He's short. Natural build and wiring is absolutely a barrier for almost all of us to see Jesus, believe Jesus, trust in Jesus. Almost all of us have something in our makeup and our wiring that is a blockage to us trusting in Jesus. So for some of you, belief is so, so hard, right? So hard. Does not come naturally to you at all. Like, see, believing something that you can't get your hands around is like one, it's like scraping fingernails across a chalkboard. And maybe you got someone in your life for whom belief comes supernaturally, like really easily. But for you, it's like gut-wrenchingly hard. You're like Zacchaeus, a wee little man was he. He's small, he's short. He's got no control over that. Just how he is, how he's built. Some of you are like that. It's how you are. It's how you're built. Belief is hard. Some of you, it's really hard. And others of you, it's really easy. Most of us are somewhere in between where we've got our own challenges or our own things that kind of keep us from believing in God, seeing Jesus, trusting that he's good, believing that he is faithful and for us. Most of us are somewhere in between impossible and really, really easy. Most of us are somewhere in between, but here's my question. Do you have anything in your natural build, your natural temperament, your natural wiring that you would say is a barrier to you seeing Jesus, believing in Jesus, trusting Jesus? Do you have anything in you that wars against you trusting in the Lord? No shame in that. It's like being right or left-handed. It's just, this is how I'm wired. This is who I am, right? So Zacchaeus is a little guy. That's one of the things that's a barrier to him seeing Jesus. He has no control over that, zero control over that. So what's he going to do about it? Well, here's what he does. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Well, listen, Zacchaeus is short. He's got no control over how tall he is. You know what he does have control over? He has control over whether or not his shortness is going to keep him from seeing Jesus or not. So here's what he does. He climbs a tree. Now, let's just pause here and say, this is a first century man in a shame, honor culture. He's got a ton of money. Those kinds of 40-somethings aren't usually climbing trees. It's a little weird. It's a little strange. In a shame, honor culture, for someone with a ton of money to be caught climbing up a tree, that's what a kid does. So you know what Zacchaeus does to overcome his barrier? He does something crazy, crazy, unnatural. He climbs a tree. What do you do to overcome your natural barriers? Go climb a tree. Do something completely unnatural to you that positions you to see Jesus. do something in you that doesn't feel right, doesn't feel normal, doesn't feel like how you roll. For some of you, coming to church, not how you roll. You don't like people, don't like the music. You definitely don't like some guy talking real fast telling you what to do. This is not how you roll. This is totally unnatural to you. Maybe you never don't have any tradition of going to church, and Sunday morning you'd rather sleep in and drink coffee and eat donuts. Like, coming to church is totally unnatural to you. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. Keep climbing this tree. Keep climbing this tree. Keep climbing this tree. Might not be natural for you yet, but this positions you to meet Jesus in a way that you might not meet him anywhere else, any other way. Keep climbing this tree. Keep doing things that feel unnatural to you, that position you to see Jesus, meet Jesus. Others, you never read the Bible before. Like, you never read the Bible before. It feels like a strange, odd book. It's 2,000 years old. You heard all the stuff about the Bible. You don't actually know anything about the Bible because you haven't read it, but you hear all these people that don't like it, so like, the Bible seems weird. Like, listen. Go read the Bible. Go climb a tree. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read the stories of Jesus. Find out why he has changed more lives than anyone else in human history. Go climb the tree. Every Sunday morning, we offer a prayer here at Pittsburgh. I wish we did. At North Chatham, we only offer on communion Sundays. Here, y'all offer it every single Sunday because you're way more holy than North Chatham people. We know that. So great. I love it. I can't wait till we get to that point in North Chatham. Some of you, the idea of going to a stranger back there in the little corner and telling them a problem you have, like, you can't imagine ever doing that. You'd rather chop off your arm, chop off a leg, and poke an eye out than go tell someone a problem you have and have them pray for you. It feels totally unnatural. Hey, go climb that tree. Today. Some of you need to go do the thing that feels like the most unnatural thing you could ever possibly do in your natural wiring, to go meet Jesus. Because people who love to pray, praying for you is like free money. Even if it feels unnatural to you, go do it. Go climb a tree. Nate, listen, there's other things about us, right? Like, some of you are anxious and fearful, like, just by nature. You can't help that. Go climb a tree. Go get the, we're doing that everyday evangelism class. Like, sharing your faith feels like the most freakish, scary thing you could possibly do. Go to that everyday evangelism training class at Summer Better. Go get some training and then take a small risk and see what God might do. Some of you are proud and selfish. Like, that's how you're wired. Find a place to serve. Because you go serve, you're going to almost always meet Jesus there. Whatever your temperament is, whatever your build, whatever your wiring, whatever your disposition, someone just like you has met Jesus. But it's going to often take something like climbing a tree. Go do something that feels totally unnatural or weird to you, that positions you to go see and meet Jesus. So Zacchaeus does here in this crazy moment. Now, Jesus is just passing through Jericho, right? He's just passing through. And if this was like high school senior superlatives, Zacchaeus would be voted least likely to be met by Jesus and be called by Jesus, right? He's the least likely guy for Jesus to be a friend to or to call to. Zacchaeus is a sellout. He's wealthy. He's a money-grubbing, like, grabber. Like, he sold out his people. He's a terrible human being. The crowd hates him, right? But don't put Jesus in a box, right? Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." We talk all the time around here about connecting people to God, connecting people to each other. That's our vision. It's what we live for. It's what we love to do. Now, here's what's true about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus does not want a deep connection with Jesus. He just wants a show. He's not looking for a deep connection with Jesus. He's not coming to him asking him for help with a problem or healing or a miracle. He's not coming to Jesus saying, "I am a terrible human being. I need to change." He's not throwing himself at Jesus' feet. He just wants to watch a show pass on by. He's actually not that interested in a deep connection with Jesus. So here's my hope. Here's my confidence as we talk about connecting people to God and to each other. My confidence is not that you and I can't wait to connect with Jesus. My confidence is Jesus can't wait to connect with us. Whether you want to connect with Jesus that much today or not, whether you are like passionate, hungry, some of you are, like, just love connecting with God, love worship, love prayer, love meeting God, and some of you are like, meh, good news. It doesn't matter how much you want to connect with Jesus. Jesus can't wait to connect with you. So even though Zacchaeus just wants a show and not showing any indication of wanting a deep connection with Jesus, Jesus stops, calls him, looks him in the eye, and says, come on down immediately, right now. I'm coming to your house today. Hey, that's good news for you and for me, because there's been times when I haven't necessarily wanted a deep connection with Jesus either. And it's really, really good news for the friends and family members that I have, that I love, 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 who seem to want nothing to do with Jesus. You know what I know? Jesus wants something to do with them. That's our confidence. So Jesus goes to the base of this tree, looks up, calls Zacchaeus, right? Now, as unnatural as it is for a wealthy man in the Middle East to climb a tree, as weird as that is, once he gets up on that tree, it's pretty comfortable. It's a good view. The crowd doesn't like him. He doesn't like the crowds either. The crowd's all way far away. He doesn't deal with the crowd and the muttering and all that kind of thing. And it's a good show. And he has no interest in Jesus messing with him or messing with his life. He gets to see the show. And then he gets to go on home and continue to exploit people for money. That's a good deal. So when Jesus says, come on down, I want you to do something, that's disrupting his spectator view. Barrier number two to you and me meeting with Jesus is spectator syndrome. Because it's way easier to be comfortable and safe in a tree than to follow Jesus. Way easier. Sit back and watch than it is to actually follow Jesus. Hard to imagine. 5 years ago in a couple months, it was COVID lockdowns. Remember how much fun that was? So much fun. So we went to COVID lockdown land, right? And it's a church, went online and online services and online small groups and all that mess. And you know, and for about a year and a half, what I said to my friends was like, I feel like for like the last, like a year and a little bit, like the whole church went behind a big thick curtain. I had no idea who's still with us and who wasn't. And then the curtain lifted, right? Like a year and 3 or 4 months ago. And like, who's still here? Who's still around? And who's left? So it was there's some surprises. Like some people have been around for a long time. We're still here, still serving. I kept up with a number of them, but they were still around, still connected. We had new people who had no idea were watching us online that moved to town in the last year and jumped in online, and that was super fun. But here's the deal. There was a whole bunch of people who were doing all kinds of things at Chatham Community Church before COVID, serving, volunteering. And when the curtain lifted, they were gone. And every now and then in the last 5 years, I'll have a smattering of conversations with these people. I'll bump into them at a grocery store, or maybe sometimes they actually have shown back up 3, 4 years later. And here, the story's all the same. The stories all sound exactly the same. Here's what happened. I was serving. I was super engaged at the church. Then everything went online. And then I kind of turned into spectator mode, started watching. And then I stopped watching, got a little bored. Service online, totally get that, not the same. Got a little disconnected. Then I stopped watching altogether. And then when things came back, I just didn't feel like that I had any interest in that anymore. Because it's really easy to go from a spectator to no participant at all, right? Really easy to opt out at that point. But even those of us who keep showing up, right? It's just easier to be a spectator than to be a participant, right? It's just easier to sit back and watch and not have to do much at all. Like, I mean, here, listen, in just a few minutes, Jesus is going to go to Zacchaeus' house. That means Zacchaeus has to likely host a meal for Jesus, all his disciples. That's a ton of work, all kinds of work to throw a party for Jesus and all his disciples. And then after the dinner, Zacchaeus is going to stand up and make a grand pronouncement that's going to cost him a ton of money. Listen, Zacchaeus, this whole thing is a massive interruption to life as usual for Zacchaeus. He didn't come here for an interruption. He came here for a show, not an interruption. But do you know how Zacchaeus could have avoided all that work of hosting and all the interruption of blowing his life up? You know what Zacchaeus could have done? Nothing. Stay in the tree. Continue to be a spectator. You know what it would cost him to stay in the tree and be a spectator? Nothing. Except this. Except he would have just continued to live his life for money. Wasted of a life. Millions of people have done that. Wasted their lives just chasing after money. It's a total waste of a life. Lots of people do it. Fall in that trap. He would have wasted his life chasing after money for the rest of his life. And we would not be talking about him 2,000 years later. No one would be talking about him 2,000 years later. 2,000 years later, we're talking about this random guy in Jericho that no one would have known, except he comes down from the tree. And his story, if he had not come down from the tree, his story would have not ended with doing crazy generous things. And over the last 2,000 years, if he had not come down from that tree, his story would not have inspired millions of people to do crazy generous things in Jesus' name. Millions of people's lives would not have been changed who makes the generous offer. And then all the people around them whose lives would have been changed if they'd been generous the way God designed them to be, they wouldn't have been designed either. Listen, 2,000 years, there would have been a Zacchaeus-shaped void in history if Zacchaeus doesn't come down from this tree. He would have been safe, comfortable. His life would have been empty and lost in oblivion. Because, listen, Jesus didn't come to build a crowd of spectators. He came to make disciples. Jesus didn't come to build a crowd of spectators. He came to make disciples. And so he says, listen, I'm calling you out of spectator land and into following me. How do you overcome the spectator barrier? You climb down from the tree and move from spectating to participating. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Listen, my friends, you're here. Praise God you're here. I don't know if you come here every week. I'm not here every week, so I don't know how often you come here. We're so glad that you're here. Jesus is here. Jesus is the most real thing in this room. He's more real than you and I are. He's calling you. Come follow me. And some of you are kind of passive spectating. It's way safer, way easier to sit back and watch than it is to jump in. And listen, you can do that, but you're going to miss out on the adventure of the lifetime that Jesus is calling you into. Don't waste your life spectating when Jesus has so much more, so much more, so much more. Come follow me. Come follow me. Get off the sidelines and come follow me. That's to look very specific and concrete. Start praying that Jesus might come into your house, into your home, just like he did for Zacchaeus. To your marriage, to your kids, to your grandkids, to your singleness. Come, let Jesus come in and do the work he wants to do. Start praying that Jesus might come in to your workplace. Maybe even open up opportunities for you to pray for someone else, care for someone else, listen to someone else, serve someone else, share your story. Start praying that God moves, that Jesus comes into your neighborhood, into the community. Start praying that Jesus comes in. Stop stepping back. Start stepping in. Maybe go to a Summer Better workshop and just sort of take a class and see what happens. Maybe jump into a small group this fall. Maybe volunteer here somewhere. We need help in Chatham Kids and particularly sort of sound and tech. We'd love to have help here. Step in, find a place to volunteer. Some of us have been stuck in spectator mode for so, so long. And Jesus says, I want you to come. Step out of spectator mode. I want you to come and be a participant. I want you to come and follow me. Jesus calls Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus gladly moves from spectating and watching to participating. It's a great move. Will you do the same? Will you do the same? Now, as Zacchaeus comes down from the tree, he bumps into his next barrier here in this whole crazy journey. Verse 7, all the people saw this, and they began to mutter in unison, as one, in one accord, like a big chorus, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. They sing all together. There's plenty of people in town who don't like Zacchaeus for a really good reason. He's a sellout. So when Jesus chooses Zacchaeus, they're like maybe a little indignant and maybe a little jealous, right? Like, and lots of surprises, right? So here's the barrier to faith, to following Jesus that looms large for many of us. Here's barrier number 3 for Zacchaeus, the haters. The haters. You start following Jesus. You come down out of your tree. You actually make Jesus a part of your life in a way that is integrated and thoughtful and intentional. There might be people in your family who don't like it. There might be people on your social media newsfeed who would criticize you. You don't even know them, and you're like scared of them. There might be people living and even dead who loom large, have all this real estate in your brain that are cynical and skeptical and questioning and doubting. And you're giving them all this power to keep you from following Jesus, to keep you from doing what the Lord is calling you to do. Zacchaeus shows us what to do about the haters. Here's what to do about the haters. He shows us exactly what to do about the haters. And to get to this, we're going to play one of my favorite Bible games. But this is Bible Mad Libs. Welcome to Bible Mad Libs. This is why I only come down every so often. Jaime won't let me down here more often than that. Bible Mad Libs. Here's Bible Mad Libs. Where we take a verse of the Bible, and we take out what it says, and we guess, if you didn't know the story, if you never read this before, what do you think would happen at this point in the story, right? So the crowd says, Jesus is going to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the blank, 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 blank. Now, what do you think Zacchaeus would say? Well, let's fill this in. How do you imagine Zacchaeus might respond to the haters? How would you respond to the haters in light of all this? Here's what it might say next here in Bible Mad Libs. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the crowd of haters, shut up, haters. Jesus chose me, so deal with it. That's how some of y'all were responding. That's how some of you are. You know who you are. Or you're married to that person. Mm-hmm. Shut up, haters, take that. He chose me to deal with it. Or maybe he was said, so Zacchaeus said to the crowd of haters, look, haters, maybe I'm not so bad, right? Kind of like, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, people like me, like I'm okay. Or maybe another nice thing is like, look, haters, Jesus loves all of us, even me, so be nice. All that might be how Zacchaeus would respond to the crowd of haters who were murmuring about him and Jesus and going to the house. Here's what Zacchaeus actually says. Here's what he actually does. And this is why it's so, so instructive. Look what Zacchaeus actually says. Verse 8. But Zacchaeus and stood up and said to the Lord. To who? To who? To who? Look, Lord. Zacchaeus doesn't waste one ounce of breath or energy on the haters because he's not convincing the haters. You should not waste one ounce of breath or energy on your haters. You're not going to change the haters. Don't give them power to keep you from connecting and following the God who loves you and created you and wants to write a redemptive story in your life and to redeem all the brokenness, all the pain. Why would you give haters that much real estate, that much power to keep you from following the Lord? Some of the people that are in your head are dead and they're still haunting you. Be set free. In Jesus' name, be set free. To no longer let the haters keep you from exploring a life with Jesus that might change everything. Barrier three, the haters. Solution to the barrier. Ignore the haters. Talk to Jesus. That's who you want to live your life for. You live your life for the haters. I can tell you how it's going to turn out. Cynical, disconnected from God. There you go. That's the story. No big question mark. Spoiler alert. That's how life ends when you live your life and give haters power over you to decide your spiritual journey. You're going to end up cynical, jaded, disconnected from God. There's the story. If you want to live that story, cynical, jaded, disconnected from God for the rest of your life, sounds terrible to me, but just let the haters decide what you're going to do. Instead, even especially at the very beginning, ignore the haters. Give Jesus a chance to speak words of grace, truth, wisdom, power into your life, into your spirit. Start following him. See what he might do. And there might be a time when you circle back to the haters and go, hey, haters, listen up. Here's what Jesus has done in my heart. And usually it's more one-on-one, right? Usually more like individual relationships, not the crowd of haters. Don't try to manage the crowd. Listen, you spend your life managing the crowd in your head, you become a person who's doing twister, spiritual twister, trying to keep the haters happy rather than actually meeting Jesus, standing upright before the Lord, before God. Strong, courageous, full of faith, hope, love. That's the life you want to live. Don't miss out because of the haters. So it's not just that Zacchaeus ignores the haters and talks to Jesus. It's also what he says and what he says he's going to do that leave him forever changed. Let's pick it up here after Zacchaeus says, look, Lord. Here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. If I have cheated anybody out of anything, to which the crowd says, if you've cheated anyone, yes, you've cheated people, I'll pay back 4 times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I've had 3 conversations in the past week with 3 different people, all of whom spent the majority of their adult life to this point living their lives for work, business, success, accomplishment, making them feel good, valuable, important, applause, approval. And all 3 of them are at various stages of blowing that whole life up and learning to live a life for the Lord. All 3 of them are at various stages of not working, not doing good work. All of them are different stages of, Lord, what does it mean to surrender their work and their value and their identity, not to their accomplishments, but to give all that over to the Lord and then say, hey, I can live for something bigger than this. I can live my life for more than this. One guy said, I used to be so stressed out. It was like all on me to build and build and build. I was striving and straining, and it was so much work. I was so exhausted. I was cranky to be with. I was a terrible human being. Now, he says, I'm like a kid building Legos with my dad. God, we get to do this together. How great is this? It's like I'm playing now instead of striving and straining. Isn't that a great picture? The fruit for all 3 of them. More joy, more peace. For a couple of them, like, this wasn't always true, but for a couple of them, their business is taking off in ways that they could have never imagined, like more than they could have asked or imagined. It doesn't always happen that way. But as they're building their businesses, fully surrendered to God, it is totally going in ways they could have never imagined or hoped for. This is the biggest last barrier that we have to face. This is if your kids play video games, there's a thing called the final boss. The final boss is the biggest, baddest boss, like the worst guy that you have to try to take out, right? This is the final boss. This is the final boss. Zacchaeus, at the center of his life, the thing that's most important for him, just like my friends who for whom their business was most important, for Zacchaeus, his biggest thing is money. That's his biggest barrier to Jesus. So barrier number 4, whatever else is at the center of your life. Whatever else is at the center of your life. For Zacchaeus, it was money. For those 3 folks, it was their business and their accomplishments and their achievement. For you, it might be your farm. For you, it might be your family. For you, it might be just yourself doing whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, and no one telling you otherwise. All of us have something that's in competition for the central seat in your life. And Jesus says, I created you, and I created that seat for myself. And you want to hand that seat over to something else. And that, my friends, is the whole ball game for your spiritual journey for the rest of your life. Are you going to let Jesus sit at the center of your life? You're going to hand it over to somebody else. There's that one seat. It's got one name on it. You put the wrong name and the wrong person in that seat, it undermines your whole spiritual journey. And so what Zacchaeus has to do is this crazy thing. He surrenders. That's the solution to barrier number 4. You surrender that thing to the Lord through prayer and concrete action. Right, I'm giving half of what I give to the half of what I have to the poor. I'm going to repay everybody I stole anything money, any money from. Right, prayer, concrete action. These are the steps to actually lifting the barrier that's keeping you from having Jesus at the center of it all. One of the guys I talked to talked about his business. So he has his business in a building. Remember 2 weeks ago when it flooded like crazy up on Chapel Hill? Kind of his business is right across the street from Eastgate Mall. That got totally flooded. His building, he's got this little small building, got totally flooded. And that whole week, he was a disaster. I mean, at one point they're saying the building might be condemned. He might have lost his whole business, the whole thing. Like, he was like a wreck. And he called me over, and we went and prayed. We prayed together. And Monday morning, as he's facing, like, insurmountable complications. Every day was something new that week. It was like a total train wreck. He wasn't sleeping. He was like throwing up every day. So stressed out, so overwhelmed. That Monday morning, the next week after we met and prayed, he did a prayer walk around the building. Just give it over, give it over, give it over to Jesus. The building's yours. Business is yours. This is not mine. And he said, that whole thing just changed everything. Just praying around the building, surrendering it to Jesus, just grounded him in something deeper, bigger, better. An achievement, his business, his identity wasn't this business. His whole life wasn't in this business. His whole life was in the Lord. Salvation comes from the Lord. The Lord was his fighter and defender. And so through surrender, he was set free. Another guy told me a story about how his whole business collapsed during COVID, like all during COVID 5 years ago. The whole thing fell apart. He thought it was the worst thing that ever happened to him. He was a disaster. But he said, now I look back on it as the best thing that ever happened to me. Because now I'm building this new business, and at every turn I'm surrendering it over to the Lord. And it's God's kingdom coming, not my kingdom coming. I'm not building my kingdom, I'm building God's kingdom. So I'm fully surrendered to whatever God wants me to do. So listen, how do you displace the big final boss? The hardest thing for all of us, no matter how long you've been on the spiritual journey, for all of us, this is the most important thing. There's other things clamoring for the captain seat of your soul. If you're paying attention, you know what those things are. If you're not paying attention and you're married, the other person knows what those things are. Your spouse will tell you gladly what's the thing that fights for the center of your heart. And the best thing you can possibly do is to surrender that thing to the Lord. It's not a one-time experience. Over and over and over and over again. I told the guy who went through the prayer walk in our building. He's like, okay, so I was better last week. What do I do? I'm like, keep prayer walking every Monday morning. Every Monday morning, you're going to give the business back over to God. Every Monday, because you're going to drift, right? He's been, I don't know, he's in his late 30s. He's had 38 years of practicing, making his life all about the business and accomplishment. Now it's going to take at least another 38 years to be set free from that. Keep praying. Keep practicing. New habits, new practices, surrender. Prayer, super crucial. Also, concrete action, right? Zacchaeus gives money away, not just like, well, I don't like money as much anymore. No, I'm going to give it away. No, I'm going to make things right. Whatever that concrete action might be for you, find ways to go counter your most natural appetite, particularly the thing that's vying for the center of your soul, the thing that most matters to you. Because here's the good news. As Jesus declares, salvation has come to this house. You know who salvation is? It's not a thing, it's a person. His name is Jesus. When Jesus walked into Zacchaeus' house, salvation has arrived in Jesus' house. And that salvation means being saved from a lesser life built around money to a life full of grace and truth, God's wisdom, God's spirit. That's power. That's salvation. Salvation also from sin and death forever. Salvation from an eternity separated from God's grace, love, and truth. That's salvation. Jesus has come to bring salvation. How he comes is he's come to seek and save the lost. That's his primary mission statement. I've come to seek and save the lost. Here's the hard news and the good news. All of us get lost occasionally. All of us get lost occasionally. Get buried behind all kinds of things. Stuck behind all kinds of barriers. Here's the good news. Jesus loves to come, kick down barriers, climb over barriers, extend a hand that says, you, I must come to your house today. I want to come to your house today. I love you. I'm for you. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what's on the wrong side of your ledger. None of that matters. I have enough grace and mercy to forgive you. No barrier you've created, no thing you've done has more power than the cross and has the power to keep you from knowing the grace, mercy, truth, and wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Really good news. No matter what you've done, you're not that special. You're not that powerful. You're not that great. No barrier, no stupid thing you've done has more power than Jesus. And no barrier, no dumb thing you've done has Jesus not already forgiven in millions of lives before you were even born. Really good news. Merry Christmas early. You're not that special. Instead, no matter what barrier you're stuck behind, no matter what challenges you face, Jesus this morning climbs over, climbs around and says, hey, hey, this isn't that big. This isn't that bad. I've saved people like this before. He puts out a hand and says, you, come follow me. Let me into your heart. Let me into your life. I didn't make you a spectator. I made you be a disciple. Come follow me. watch what I'll do. Today's wildly important takeaways. If you've never heard me preach, I close at the end with a 5-minute summary of the most important things. So if you fell asleep 20 minutes ago, you just wake up and catch the highlights. Here it is. So here's today's wildly important takeaways. First, every barrier to following Jesus. All of us have barriers. Every barrier to following Jesus has been overcome by some point by somebody through some combination of their own choices, like Zacchaeus makes, and Jesus, who always comes to seek and save the lost, all of whom are stuck behind some barrier at some point, right? So have confidence. Here's the good news. No matter what your obstacle or barrier is, right? It's already been overcome by Jesus at some point in history. You can have confidence, hope, that he's a redeemer, he's a savior, he's a king. Barrier number one, natural building or wiring. Do you have anything in your natural build or wiring? Almost all of us have something, natural barrier, wiring, temperament, something you have no control over that you've experienced as a barrier to following, knowing Jesus. Helpful to surface that. Again, that's just as it is. Though some of us have leaned into that barrier, some of us have created more barriers, but some of us, just by temperament, by nature, here's the thing, like, I'm naturally anxious, I'm naturally fearful, I'm naturally proud, I'm naturally skeptical, whatever that is, right? That's who you are. Hey, just name it, it's super helpful. And then solution, climb a tree. Do something completely unnatural to you that positions you to see Jesus. Just like Zacchaeus climbed a tree, I want to invite you to climb a tree. What's a tree you can climb today? Again, in about 10 minutes, I'm going to tell you the prayer room is open for you to go get prayer. For some of you, that might be a life-changing experience today. To step into those little curtains and go get prayer might be the thing that turns the corner for you to come down to the tree, moving from spectator to actually participant, actually helping you to connect with God who created you and loves you. So climb a tree, do something completely unnatural to you that positions you to see Jesus. Barrier number two, spectator syndrome, right? Easier to step back, be passive, watch, see other people do things, and not actually be engaged. Solution, climb down from that tree you climbed up in and move from spectating to participating. Let's find a way to step into the story through prayer, through action, sort of being deliberate, being faithful, just being awake. So what are the opportunities that Jesus is calling me into, to step into, step out of my comfort zone? Zacchaeus, barrier number three, the haters. All of us are going to haters. Social media, friends, family, coworkers, colleagues, classmates at school, whatever. All these people who are going to say stuff about Christianity and Jesus. I want to invite you to ignore the haters. Talk to Jesus. All of us at different points are going to have to block out the haters. Don't give them more real estate and power of your life than you want to give them. Open yourself up to Jesus. Watch what he will do. Talk to Jesus and watch what he will do. But barrier number four, whatever else at the center of your life, this is a big one for all of us. Every single one of us is going to fight this barrier over and over and over again. And the solution to that one is we continue to surrender the thing to the Lord over and over again in prayer and then through concrete, specific steps of action. My friends, here's the good news today. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That's his mission statement. That's what it's all about. Some of us get lost in the woods, lost behind obstacles, barriers. Some of us chase after side quests. Some of us allow our appetites or other things to like overrun us, to override us. Here's the good news. Jesus keeps coming. There will never be a day in your life. As long as you've got breath in your lungs, Jesus is going to continue to come to you, knock on the door. Hey, come on down. I must come to your house today, your heart today, your family today, your life today. Come on down. Let Jesus in. Watch what he will do. Maybe just like Zacchaeus, you will be forever changed. And maybe just like Zacchaeus, your change will release a domino effect of change that blesses people for generations. That's what it means to be forever changed as we meet the living Savior. His name is Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you call Zacchaeus, of all people, Zacchaeus. Thank you that you, in your mercy and your kindness, you have come to seek and save the lost. I wanna pause now for my friends who feel lost. Whether it's because they've never said yes to you in their lives, or they said yes to you like 20 years ago, but it's been a long time since they've been open to you or allowed you to speak into their lives. Lord, some of us just feel lost, like just because last week's been hard. And we feel the barriers, we feel the obstacles to trusting that you're good, believing that you're faithful. Lord, some of us, this has just been a hard week, a hard month, a hard decade. Lord, there's all kinds of pain and challenges. Some of us have pride in our lives. Some of us have sin patterns in our lives. It's got to go. Those are the barriers. Between us and you, Lord, we look to the one who comes to seek and save the lost. That's our hope. That's our confidence. So come, Lord Jesus. Meet those of us who feel stuck today behind some sort of barrier, some sort of obstacle. Even the apathy, the obstacle of apathy. Lord, I pray that you would give us courage and wisdom to take small steps, right? Small steps of faith, small steps of action, whatever that might be, Lord, for each one of us. Would you call to mind the thing that is vying for your position, your seat in our heart? Would you call to mind what that thing might be? And would you help us to know what you want us to surrender to you? Maybe it's money. Maybe it's our accomplishment. Maybe it's our family. Maybe it's a hobby or just having our own way, our own appetites as ourselves are at the center of our lives, Lord. Would you give us the courage and the freedom to surrender those things to you and then to step with you into a life that's not dictated by those things. It's dictated by your kingdom coming and your will being done, bearing beautiful good fruit in our lives as it is in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit. Release us, free us from chains to be generous like Zacchaeus was, to be faithful like Zacchaeus was, to be maybe even reckless, do some crazy things like Zacchaeus did. Because when we meet Jesus, he changes us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you change us. We receive your presence in our hearts and our lives with great joy, and then we surrender to you, and then we want to follow you all our days to the end of our days into eternity with you. We pray this in Jesus' strong, mighty name. Amen. 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 Let's stand as we sing our last song together.